Holy Spirit, come into our hearts and prepare us for the hearing and the receiving of this word. May this word be your living presence here with us. May it take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus, the Word made flesh. Amen. This semester in chapel, we're going to be looking at stories. I hope you figured that out by now, that our theme for the year is stories. And this semester, our stories will be coming from the Old Testament. This month, we're going to look at stories of Abraham, and then next month, stories of Moses, and then stories of David. I was having a conversation yesterday with some of our worship apprentices. We were talking about another story, not today's, but another story we're going to be looking at. And we realized that for many of us, these stories are really familiar, but they're really familiar the way we learned them when we were five. And the way we learned them when we were five may not actually include the full power or the terror or the wonder of the text. They often were dumbed down a little bit for us. And so I hope that you will not think, oh, I know that already, and stay away from chapel, but that instead you will say, wow, this is my chance to put myself in the story of God's people. So hear now the story of Abraham's call from Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to read the first 8 verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot and all the possessions that they had gathered and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring I will give the land. So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. One of my favorite places in the world is Whitefish Point, which is a point up on Lake Superior, the southern shore of Lake Superior. Some of you are nodding. You have been to Whitefish Point. I love it because of the vastness of Lake Superior. I love it because of the freshness of the air, especially when the summer is hot, to go someplace like Whitefish Point and feel that northern air on your face. But I also love it because of the rocks. Whitefish Point is one of those rocky beaches, and it's fun to sit and watch people come out on the beach because immediately they start picking up rocks, as do I. I have brought some of my Whitefish Point rocks with me. And last summer and this summer, as I was on this beach and I was picking up rocks, I started asking myself, why this rock? Why this rock? There are thousands of rocks. I mean, it's a very rocky beach. Thousands of rocks within, you know, a few feet of where I'm standing. Why did I pick up this rock? It's not all that remarkable looking. Most of the rocks on Whitefish Point look like this, different sizes, but they're all smooth because they've all come out of Lake Superior. They've all been beaten. There's nothing in particular about this rock that made me say, that's the one. So why this rock? It's an interesting question for me because another question that I ask a lot is, why me? And the text here encourages us to ask, why Abram? Why does God choose some people and not others? Why did God pick Abram, not his brother Haran, but Abram? Not his brother Nahor, but Abram? Why? Why did God pick me? There are people on the other side of the world, and there are people right next door who have never heard the gospel, don't know anything about Jesus. Why do I know? Why was I taught? Why did I have all the benefits that I've had in my life? It's a hard question. There's an answer I would like to give. I'd like to say, well, see, God looked at me even before I was born and said, she's so wonderful. She's just got so much potential. I got to make sure I put her someplace special. But of course, that's foolishness. I didn't do anything to deserve to be part of the covenant community of grace. The whole point, right, is that it's grace. And I have value, and Abram has value, and you have value because God chose us, not the other way around. This rock starts to become valuable to me because now it's mine. And I pay attention to it, and I notice it, and I look at it. And maybe someday I'll decide to put a little shellac on it so that I can see its colors even when it's not underwater. And I notice that there's a little bit of a sort of glistening quality to it that you can't see, but there's just a little bit of something shiny in there. I start to see things in this rock because I chose it. But I didn't choose it because of those things. And God, of course, has a lot of power that I don't have. When God chooses us, he doesn't just notice what's already there. He elicits things that weren't there before. He brings out of Abram faith. He brings out of Abram the ability to go from step to step to step, following him, doing this terrifying thing, leaving his homeland, leaving everyone he knows, stepping out into a strange land that is already occupied by hostile people, and staking a claim to it. This is where I'm going to be. And it's clearly not because Abram is some kind of already really virtuous person. The very next story tells us about Abram telling some lies, acting out of fear. Abram becomes virtuous, he becomes holy, he becomes righteous because of God's choice. God's choice changes him. God's choice changes you. Now, of course, that doesn't solve the problem of guilt, does it? It doesn't seem fair. Why should God choose me and not other people? Especially if it's not my fault, if I didn't deserve it. What about all those people who aren't chosen? What about all those people who have never heard? What about all those people who don't know Jesus? How can I make sense of that? Well, on some level, we can't. On some level, we shouldn't expect to. God, we should assume, operates in ways that would not be immediately transparent to small people like us. But here in this text, we do have a little clue. Why is Abram called? He's called so that God can make him a nation, and so that nation will be a blessing to all the families of the earth. The reason God calls Abram is to make him a conduit of grace into all the world. It's not that God says, okay, this world is kind of a mess. I'm going to call one person and put him over here safe and see if I can do something with him, if I can salvage him from the disaster of the world. That's not God's plan. God says, this world is kind of a mess. I'm going to pick one person and see if I pour all sorts of grace into him, if it'll spill out into the world. And ultimately, of course, that's what Jesus is, the one in whom all of God's grace is packaged so that it can spill out into the world, the one in whom all the families of the earth are blessed, the one who is chosen more than any other one is chosen, so that everyone is blessed in him. And we're chosen in that same way. I'm not chosen so that I get to sit in a nice office and enjoy myself studying theology in isolation and never think about the world. The point of God's call on my life is that I'm supposed to go out and be a blessing to the families of the earth. The point of God's call on your life is that you're supposed to go out and be a blessing to the families of the earth. God wants to channel his grace to the world through us. Now, the way he calls us can be scary.
I try to imagine what in the world could have motivated Abram to say yes to this. To say, okay, I'll leave behind everything I own, everything I know. I'll pack up and live in a tent. I'll go off with my family into a strange place, a place that might be dangerous. Why would he say yes to that? What would inspire anyone to follow God's call into the risky places that he calls us? Well, clearly it must be God himself who makes that possible. And it's God himself who makes it possible for us to answer his call into the risky places he calls us. Now, for some of you, the risk, the unknownness, the terror of all of this is much more obvious than for others. Some of you are right at the beginning of your college career. You don't even know where your classroom is for your afternoon class yet, let alone what your major is going to be, let alone what you're going to be doing with the rest of your life. And for you, it's really obvious that God is calling you to step in faith into an unknown future. You don't know where you're going, and you're just going to have to take step by step, stage by stage, as Abram did. But here's the thing. All of us are stepping out in faith into an unknown future. It's just some of us have forgotten that fact. I've been here at Calvin for 7 years now, and it's very tempting to assume, well, of course, I'm just going to be here till I retire. Of course, I know my future. I know exactly what I'll be doing tomorrow and next year and the year after that, but I don't. My future's just as unknown as yours. The sense that I have control over my life, that's an illusion. I'm also stepping out into an unknown future, and who knows what can happen tomorrow? Who knows what sickness or pain might come to me? Who knows what opportunity might open up? Who knows where God might call me, where God might call you? What step you might be called on to take. Here's the good news of this passage, that God is the initiator of the call, and God's the one who protects the journey as we answer the call, and God's the one who's waiting for us at our destination when we get where we're called to go. God's providential care is over this whole process. God is there with Abram, never leaving him on his own. He doesn't call him and then abandon him. He doesn't send him and say, I'll stay here, you go off and save the world. He is there, holding his hand, taking care of him, developing a relationship with him, becoming his friend. And he is there for us. Where is God calling you? You can't possibly know that right now if you want to know the whole shape of your life. But where is he calling you today? Well, how can you bless someone today? How can you be faithful today? How can you learn a little bit more about his world and about him today? Do those things and you will be taking steps toward your calling. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we ask that you let us trust you. We praise and thank you that you have called us, that you've brought us to this place, that you've given us this great privilege of study and learning, that here we may be equipped to do good work for you. We don't know what that work's going to be, but you do know. You have plans for us. You have designs for us. You have a call on our lives. We put our hands in your hand. We step out in faith with you. In Jesus' name, amen.